Welcome to the Payments Journal podcast. I'm your host, Rima Katz. Today, we're going to explore the digital transformation journey undertaken by Wells Fargo, examining the strategic elements crucial for success. Joining me today is Ritika Graywal, Executive Vice President, Head of Digital Transformation for Commercial, Corporate, and Investment Banking at Wells Fargo. She, alongside Albert Baldin, Director of Commercial at Javelin Strategy and Research, are going to speak to whether the digitization journey varies based on a company size, and they're going to decipher what's essential versus merely advantageous in this digital era. It's great to have you both with us today. Ritika, we know that Wells Fargo has been on a digitization journey for the past several years. What two or three things is the company really focused on heading into 2024?
Yeah, from the perspective of the commercial and the corporate and investment banking space, we're really focused on making sure that we're meeting our customers where they're at in terms of how they want to engage with us. So at a very simplistic level, companies need great software to help run their business. And so that is one of our core missions, is to give them that great software to run their business. And so Wells Fargo Vantage is that singular place where a company can go and find, you know, that dashboard of the activity on their accounts, what things need their attention, what things are opportunities for them to explore in terms of any insights into their activity, opportunities to explore new products and services that may meet their needs, manage their users, manage anything new with their company. That's that one, you know, amazing piece of software to help our companies run their businesses. And then soon to follow, coming soon this year, is our new Wells Fargo Vantage mobile app. So that is also coming so that we can respond to, again, being where our companies need us to be, on the go, in their offices, et cetera. The other thing that we think a lot about is that in servicing companies, a lot of companies employ a variety of tools to help them manage their business in addition to, you know, the software that we provide them. They may use an enterprise resource planning system. They may use an accounting system. They may use an HR system. And so we want to make sure that we're, from a digital perspective, providing them easy integrations into those tools. So as they are going down their digitization journey, they have everything at their fingertips. It's really kind of this omni-channel, multimodal journey that we want to make sure that we can meet our companies where they're at and giving them the right tools, be it an API, be it the Vantage portal or mobile, so that they have everything that they need.
And that comprehensive set of tools related to integration is incredibly important. I work quite a bit with, you know, mid-sized companies, work a lot with the largest companies in the world, but the mid-sized companies, really something that they struggle with, not having partners that have the comprehensive set of tools to integrate those other systems as the business grows. So very important.
I think that, like, you know, the way that we started the conversation is that Wells Fargo is on a digitization journey, but I would say every one of our companies is on that same journey, and it may manifest a little differently, but they are trying to figure out ways to streamline their processes, drive automation, and look for opportunities to leverage new technology to do things better, regardless of the size of the company.
And to really piggyback on that, can you speak to your approach when it comes to this journey with your clients? Because you are dealing with companies of all sizes. So is it a one-size-fits-all approach, or is it more of this personalized, tailored approach?
We went down this deep journey before we launched that Wells Fargo Vantage website, that portal that I was talking about, where we spent a good amount of time making sure that we were in the hearts and minds of our customers. And because we solve for a wide range of company sizes, it could be, you know, $2 million of revenue working out of a, you know, co-working space, or it could be $2 trillion, you know, with a global footprint. We needed to make sure that we understood the various types of companies, their inflection points, their needs, their motivations, et cetera. So we have built out a library of personas that cover a variety of company sizes, company industries. And then we also talk about like the archetypes, because in this space, you have a variety of user types that come in. In a smaller company, it may be just a couple of people in the company that are interacting with the Vantage software, but at the higher end, it could be 200 people logging in. And so how do we make sure we've got that right sort of Rubik's Cube of who you are, what are you trying to do, what problems are you trying to solve, and how do we get the right information in front of you? And so, you know, that personas work is super foundational, and it's great to hear people around the company talk about ambitious Amy and organized Olivia and seasoned Saul and things like that. So it's, you know, the entire organization has embraced this kind of thinking of operating with a client first mindset.
Yeah. And something I wanted to highlight in what you said, Ritika, is the really speaks to the scalability of something like this. One of the big areas I see with organizations that are growing is that they start, as you said, they might start as a garage business, and then, you know, fast forward 5 to 10 years, and all of a sudden they have 20 vendors that they work with, because the original vendor just simply was not intended to scale in a bunch of different areas. So the ability to be with a partner that has that scalability element is very important.
Yeah, and we totally agree. And, you know, I've spent a lot of time working in this space, and that particular point of I need to make a change, I need to do something different because I've outgrown something, it requires so much change management on the company side, right? Like it's the people, the process, the systems that you stood up relative to one, you know, solution set, you're basically starting over. And you know, we don't want them to have to do that. We want to be able to grow with them as they grow.
What are the strategic elements of digitization that companies need to get right? Ritika, I'll start with you first.
So I think when we think about the strategic elements, it is about making sure that the change management goes along with it. So if you're implementing a new process to drive some automation, how do you make sure that the tools that the folks are using are the right tools, then, and then all the processes change along with it? So for example, if you're moving from paper to electronic payments, how do you make sure that you understand the timing differences and the information needs and things like that? Like that is also part of the digitization process, is making sure that all the things that go around driving a change are also there to support the change holistically. You know, the other thing is just like sort of speaking to something that we said that I said a couple minutes ago, is just making sure you've got the right tools in front of the right person, so that you're not overwhelming them with unnecessary information, or you're arming them with the right kinds of information. Like for example, one of the things that we are doing within Wells Fargo Vantage is we're pulling across all our different products and services to get insights at the right point of time, at the right decision point, so that you've got, you know, that intersection of here's the information that we have, or here's the transactions that you have, and here's what you can do with it. If you're, you know, you wanted to go further in your digitization, or did you know that these, you know, 50 checks that you wrote could be converted to ACH or virtual cards or real-time payments, right? Like those are just some examples of like making sure you've got the information to help drive the transformation or the digitization that companies are looking for at the right moment in time.
Yeah, change management is critical. And I like to call the antithesis of that digitization for the sake of digitization. And right. How many times we've been in scenarios where someone has rolled something out without the change management element, really understanding who the customer is, but yet here it is now on our laptop or our desktop, and we're expected to use it and enjoy it. So very, right. Very good point.
Yeah.
I feel like since the pandemic, we've really seen organizations embrace digital and really try to ramp up digital experiences. It's become really vital. Ritika, how can companies, you know, fully optimize digital payment experiences for their customers? Is there something that they should really think about? Like, what are table stakes versus nice to haves?
Yeah, I mean, and I think that this is sort of like an offshoot of the digitization that a company is going through themselves is how do they move their customers along that digitization journey? And I would say that it's really not dramatically different than what we've been talking about in terms of like knowing who your customers are, knowing what their expectations are, getting information in front of them at the moments that matter the most, and you know, showing the benefits of one experience over the other, right? So like things like the new instant payment rails or real-time payment rails, right? Like the value propositions of those types of payments aren't widely, you know, widely known just yet. And there is some education that needs to happen in order to do that. And maybe it is the right solution or it's not. But just like, again, it's that knowing your customer, knowing how to motivate them, knowing what's kind of the right size solution for them is how I would definitely encourage others to approach it. And it is table stakes, like knowing your customer and being able to respond to their needs. And then, you know, going above and beyond is that personalization layer. And that personalization layer is becoming more and more table stakes as time goes on, as people experience personalization at scale with some of their e-commerce transactions or, you know, and other kinds of services that are really great at bringing some of that personalization to life. I think that becomes part of that expectation as well.
I would add ease of use and minimal friction in everything we do. I'm a proud Wells Fargo banking customer, and I use my Wells Fargo app every day. And one of the reasons I use it is because it's easy to use. And I use it over, you know, actually what I would use on my laptop or desktop to even pay bills. So, you know, and we're actually starting to see a lot of that come into the stodgy old commercial world. We're taking a page. Organizations like Wells are taking a page from the consumer side. So it's nice to see.
Yeah, no, 100%. And thank you for being a Wells Fargo digital customer. It's funny that it's taking so long for that to happen, that realization that at the end of the day, they're customers, right? They're used to experiences in their personal lives or even in their blended personal/business lives. And so you have to make sure that you're moving them along in the same way, because you don't want to increase friction for them. And, you know, I think gone are the days where we like clients would be willing to like learn products and bank language or whatever the case may be in order to figure out how to make a payment. That's not there anymore. People just want to be able to get in, get out, do what they need, understand what their options are, you know, any insights to help them do their work better. Like that's sort of a similar model on the consumer side that just has, it's just taken a minute to carry through to the commercial side.
Indeed.
So we have some fintechs in the audience. I'm curious how Wells Fargo works with fintechs and, you know, Ritika, what you're looking for in a fintech partner.
The work that we do with fintechs is really important. We work with companies with a wide variety of size and of a wide variety of sizes, but we really look to partner with companies that'll help really sort of supplement, enhance what we're doing, either to help us deliver a really unique product or service to market, help us accelerate our client experience forward, you know, bring new opportunities to our clients that, you know, maybe we don't offer ourselves. And, you know, finding that partner that is willing to spend the time with us, work with us, you know, understand the integration options, understand the partnership options, that's really important. We look for somebody that is willing to, you know, sometimes it just takes a minute for us, because we are a heavily regulated institution and we want to make sure we've got everything sort of ticked and tied for our customers. But, you know, we want to work with a partner that's going to help push us and accelerate things for us and our customers, right? Like that's at the end of the day, what we're laser focused on is how do we deliver better for our clients?
So having come from a fintech that worked with Wells, I can say that Wells is very good at not only paying attention to tech stacks and financials. One of the things that I remember going through was actually a cultural profile with the organization, which I thought was really unique. And mm-hmm. a lot of organizations don't do that. That just as we talked about with the digitization for the sake of digitization, you know, they didn't just accept the fact, well, here's the software and financials look good. Let's go ahead and hook them in. So coming from experience, I thought that was a very unique thing, and I think it's a good thing.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. I think we do partnerships well. And I would say it does take us a minute sometimes, but it's also just right. Like, it's important to make sure we've got all those various fits, the product market fit, the cultural fit, the, you know, the economics fit, all of those things lined up the right way.
You know, what makes, you know, these fintech partnerships successful, and on the same type of like really important note, what also makes them challenging?
I think it's a little bit of what we were talking about in that, you know, just taking the time and understanding that, like, you know, we're going to be really deliberate in terms of how we go about it. And we're going to make sure that we leverage the collective expertise at Wells Fargo to do this well. So partnering with technology, partnering with risk, partnering across the organization, we bring our experts to the table to make sure that we do this well. And, you know, in terms of challenges is, you know, I think it's just really just making sure that we're all kind of operating on that same rhythm. It is really important, and that we all kind of have that shared goal of this is the problem we're trying to solve. This is how we're anticipating solving it. And then as we learn more and more, we can put more structure around any kind of partnership.
I think actually a misconception, Ritika, is that people that don't work with partnerships sometimes think it's actually less work to outsource, you know, as opposed to it being internal. And I would argue the work increases twofold almost to have them be successful partnerships. So it is by no means a light undertaking. So organizations that do it well are, you know, have some real expertise in that area.
Yeah, I would agree.
We've covered a lot thus far, but we're also in, you know, the beginning of 2024. So I'm curious what some of the biggest opportunities for growth are in payments.
The payments market is enormous. Just even thinking about it on the commercial and the corporate and investment banking side, it's you're paying all your vendors, you're collecting from all your vendors, your employees, like, you know, there's this world of money movement. And it is a complex ecosystem because there's various different levers that you want to take advantage of when you're collecting or paying. And so there's really, you know, along the lines of what we've been talking about, it's that as you go down your journey of automation, is thinking about what levers are you trying to pull? What are the, you know, the opportunities for you to do something to either, you know, collect faster, pay faster, et cetera. And so, you know, things like I mentioned earlier, things like real-time payments and instant payments, right? Those new rails represent new opportunities in payments. When you need to get a payment out faster, or you want to be able to leverage the time that maybe, you know, like an old school check, it takes, you know, several days to clear. You don't need to plan for that anymore. You can just send it out on the day that it needs to get there, right? And so all of those things are going to present opportunities for growth in payments once they're fully understood.
Yeah, enormous is the right word. I mean, the trajectory is incredible for payments. And I don't even think we've seen the steepest part of the trajectory yet, because we haven't even seen the first cross-ocean or cross-continent instant payment happen. You know, so that is going to come in like a tsunami, I think, in 24 and 25. I would like to see, before I hang my clogs up in life, I would like to see checks obliterated from the space. But I've been saying that since I started in the working world, and you know, just as to throw out a statistics, and I know you all know this, but maybe the audience doesn't, that, in my world, commercial payments still make it up 33% of the payments, paper checks, which it just boggles my mind. So a lot of opportunity, obviously, there as well.
Yeah, no, for sure. Taking checks out of the system. I know when you travel internationally, they're like, what is it with you guys and your checks?
Right. Mandate it out legally. Get the government to mandate it out. That's what we need to do. So,
you know, and then the other thing I would just point to in terms of another big opportunity for payments is in the embedded payments space. And I think we've had some really good traction in that space for several years with sort of embedding checkouts and things like that. But I think there's opportunities to do more in that regard. So embedding payment solutions into, you know, an end solution that is offered to a consumer.
You both spoke about the opportunities, but I'm sure that, you know, since the space is constantly evolving, there are some challenges that are being faced as well. Checks obviously being like one of them, but Any that you anticipate, and Ritika, can you speak to any in terms of how to address any of like the challenges that you think might happen?
Yeah, I think I kind of touched on that a little bit. It's just around education. So, you know, definitely of the camp that checks, you know, should no longer be such a big part of the way that commercial payments happens, but it is. And just making sure that the education falls along with it, right? Like I like to think about, or, you know, if you think about the consumer card space, right? Like there was a massive amount of education and marketing and dollars put against educating people to use their cards. And building up that network and the network effect around the accepting of cards, and so, you know, I think we're still really early innings in the instant payment, real time payment space, where all of those pieces still need to come into play: the education, the acceptance, the understanding of how it fits relative to some of the other payment types. So I think that, you know, that's gonna investments are going to be need to be made in order to help drive some of that forward.
Yeah, I would just add to that, Ritika, you know, things like ISO 20022, the supposed standard that has 60 different implementations worldwide, which speaks to the importance of having really, really great partners, because I organizations just can't do this by themselves. And I see that on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, totally agree.
Thank you both so much for sharing your insights and perspective, and thanks to everyone for tuning in today. Be sure to subscribe and stay updated on the latest Payments Journal episodes, and don't forget to share this podcast with your friends and colleagues.